Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded, stolen, ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on your social media at linktree.com/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF. That spiel gets me every time. I don't think I've ever done it perfectly, but it's okay. You're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
I'm DJ Coco. Yeah, I think I said unseated and stolen, which
means the
same thing. We're literally looking at the script here, but anyways, hopefully all you guys are doing great on this Tuesday night. I'm not sure what the weather's like. I think it's...
You've been outside?
I've been outside. I walked here slightly from the car, like a minute.
I think it's a little foggy.
Yeah, it's a little foggy, a little chilly, but hopefully you're warm in your house, warm in your car, wherever you are.
Snug as a bug in a rug, hopefully.
Yes. As you can tell, we're in a pretty good mood because...
Yeah. We're in an amazing mood, actually.
We have a Filipino Association event later tonight. We are not Filipino, either of us, but we've heard that there's food, free food.
And it's for members and non-members, so
Exactly. So
we're welcomed.
Got our free tickets and we are heading on over there after our show, so...
Catch us there, SFU sub ballroom. So gotta RSVP though.
If you're an SFU student, go RSVP right now. If you're not, sorry. Enjoy your regular dinner.
Yeah, your boring dinner.
Your boring dinner.
Just kidding. I'm sure it's yummy, but can't possibly be as yummy as what we're about to experience. But my expectations are just so high for some reason.
Yeah,
we saw a video of the food.
We might be expecting pizza right now, but. Oh well,
I got us so bad.
Anyways, as usual, we're gonna be doing some music for this week. This is not anywhere near the energy of last week, which was all EDM.
Yeah, I don't think I have any EDM songs.
Me neither. So this
much.
Is
maybe one
more on the. I think for my side, I have more indie pop, indie rock, some folky songs.
I have the first two songs are nothing like this, but the rest of them are kind of punk rock ish. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited.
Expect that. Later on, we'll get into our topic for the day. So we're going to start off with DJ Star's first song, which she'll introduce.
It's called Faith. It's by Death by Peanuts, which is a good one. Amina, Moses Yufi, and Noah Furbringer. I love this song.
Enjoy.
Stuff I got to say. Sweet on the pain. The stuff I got to say, stuff I got to say. The things on my healing, the stuff I can't see, the pain on my healing, and I gotta see with faith. Quiet with me. Yeah, I'll stay quiet.
Pour le mieux, je sais même plus ce que ça vaut. Je retiens mes cheveux, j'espère qu'on finit pas les deux. J'écoute pas de zoo boire, me fumant un petit bédou. CBD, sinon tu sais déjà, ça me fait bobo. J'ai épuisé le cerveau et fermé les yeux pour faire un vœu quand je me prépare à faire de dos. Ce soir, je me suis salie sur moi-même, j'ai mon propre sang. Est-ce que celles et ceux qui ont su garder le bon sens? Je veux pas le ciel et s'il m'intéresse pas encore. Quand je m'en remets à tes yeux, ton cœur me semble si innocent. Pourtant ton corps, lui, il me mène à sang. Je suivrai pas le groupe même s'il me mène à sang. Nouvelle reine, j'emporte la cour infiniment. Même si je sais que vous m'aimez sans, je me fierai à mes sens pour garder mon essence. Chie, jeune fille, pas de Prada ni Givenchy. Jeune fille, déjà j'aime pas les tensions ces temps-ci. Ni la tension, c'est ainsi. Ah, chie. Ni l'attention, c'est ainsi. Oh shit. Yeah.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Thank you. women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You are tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star. The last song that you just heard is called Whale by Lifestyles. And the song before that was Dressed by PJ Harvey. And the song before that was Femme Fatale by Kami Lu.
Hope you enjoyed those.
Yeah, hope you liked those. Our topic for today is Australia's social media ban for kids for kids under 16.
So exciting.
Yeah. It is actually kind of like, it's a good move.
It is important. For sure. It is important. I feel like that's why we are addressing it, because this is something that's more monumental, because this really hasn't been done officially anywhere in the world. So we'll take a stab at it and pass the information on. So
yeah, so the first of all, they had some concrete reasons why they did it based on a study commissioned from the Australian government, which found 96% of children 10 to 15 were on social media. And out of those 96%, 70% were exposed to harmful content and behavior. So the examples given were misogyny, fight videos, content promoting, eating disorders, and suicide. So if you're a 10-year-old seeing that, like, that is, that cannot be good for your development.
Oh, no.
No way.
Probably not.
One in seven have experienced grooming behavior from adults or older children, and half of them have been victims of cyberbullying. So none of these statistics are really saying too much on the positive side of things. So mm-hmm. I think that's why they were like, okay, we need to stop this, at least for 10 to 15-year-olds.
Yeah. So as we said, Australia is the first country to do this and actually have a policy to put in place. And this social media ban includes the platforms Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Threads, TikTok, X, YouTube, Reddit, Twitch, for all kids under 16.
Which is a big move. Because like, these corporations are not going to be happy with this.
No.
And they're like, they're targeting all of the major ones, pretty much.
I didn't even realize, actually, Reddit and Twitch. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually think about that too much, too thoroughly, but I feel like that would cause an outrage.
Yeah.
Even Twitch, too, because all you're doing is watching videos of someone streaming.
But there's some messed up streaming things on there.
Yeah,
like, I think every single one of these platforms, like, they don't regulate, for the most part, what kind of content is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they only do when it's, like, the most extreme possible. But even then, I've seen some pretty messed up stuff just, like, on my way in social media. So
yeah, that is true. On Reddit, too, I've seen some bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they are keeping certain platforms such as YouTube Kids, Google Classroom, WhatsApp, which are more communication-based and regulated, which makes sense. This is pretty monumental because, as we know, there have been other countries who have been trying to do this. For example, the UK tried to put in safety rules in July 2025 to fine online companies. And they've also had some movements of similar keeping kids off these social media platforms. But they actually found that a lot of kids were using VPNs and going around this. There's also France in September 2025, so pretty recently, that recommended banning under 15s from social media and having a curfew for 15 to 18-year-olds. Other European countries such as Denmark and Norway also have plans to ban social media for under 15s, but these are all underway or have failed in the past. And Australia seems like the only country right now that is actually actively making a policy, and it seems to be bent on, or seems to be official in the sense that they are going to implement it.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, they're going to enforce it through way of fining the social media companies that don't change anything about their setup or allow children under 15 or under 16, I mean, to get in there. And the fines can be up to 49.5 million. Which sounds like a lot, but I'm pretty sure that's how long it takes. Like, I think for Meta, it's like an hour and 40 minutes for them to make that amount of money. So it's really not that much money for the company. The social media companies were told that they have to take reasonable steps. So it's a bit vague to keep the kids off platforms and use some sort of tech to keep them off. Like ID, like showing a government ID, face voice recognition, and also just age inference, which is an interesting one, which means that these platforms are, like, even just your phone is tracking someone's online behavior and interactions to estimate their age, which does seem a bit like an invasion of privacy. But at the same time, I think our phones are doing that anyways. It's more of just, like, utilizing it.
Yeah, might as well use it for a good cause. Yeah, I feel like there are definitely privacy issues with these steps that they want to implement, which will be difficult. And I think that is a major con of this policy being implemented because of how many times countries have been trying to do this, but no one can actually understand how to keep enforcing this. And I think, honestly, this is monumental, but I feel like it will fall apart and we'll forget about this in a little bit because it won't work, especially with this facial assessment technology, because kids are always going to find a way around things, especially if it's implemented for the entire country of Australia for all kids under 16. Like, how are you supposed to regulate that? And with multiple social media platforms, because you're not just dealing with Meta, you're dealing with, you know, Reddit and Twitch, which are all separate companies. So how are you supposed to enforce this for so many different companies and with every single kid in Australia?
But at the same time, like, it is technically being written into law, and I feel like a lot of things in the beginning that are, like, created as a new restriction or like prohibition of something, that it's like, how is this possible? Like, this could never happen, that all, like, nobody's allowed to do this. But I think it was Australia who also banned guns after, like, a school shooting there, and that was really effective in, like, reducing violence and stuff. So I know it is online, which makes it way trickier, but I do have hope that it would work. And some kids are definitely going to find a way around it. but I think like majority might not be able to, depending on how it's carried out.
I guess. Yeah, because there's always going to be some loophole. Because with the same article, the BBC, they interviewed some teenagers, and they said themselves that they would open new accounts with fake ages ahead of the ban.
Yeah.
Or they'd use alternative social media apps, or they'd use a joint account with their parents, or they'd use a VPN, which are all, I feel like, are definitely ways to get around this. And especially that, you know, platforms like TikTok are banned in China. And I'm pretty sure there are still people using TikTok, but just with a VPN. I know that, I believe that they have their own app now.
Yeah, their own versions of TikTok, I think.
But there are definitely people who in China can use TikTok. Actually, it is strange that it's banned in their country, but it's made by China. Let me step back on there. I know that it is banned in India for sure. Not sure about China, but I wonder, maybe to dive deeper into how they're doing this. But that's only with one platform, so this whole law with multiple platforms will be a bit tricky. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how it pans out.
But also, like, a lot of the platforms are owned by Meta too, so it's like there are overarching corporations who are in control of, like, most social media platforms. The only thing is, yeah, like, the social media platforms are the ones who are responsible, and not the children, obviously. Like, it shouldn't be made a legal offense as a child to go on social media, but I think that is also something that, you know, like, there's no accountability or responsibility for being the one who's finding a way to get onto social media. So there's not a lot of, like, incentive from a child's perspective to not find a way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because they know that there's no repercussion. It'll just be on the company.
Yeah, which it should be. But, yeah, I'm just kind of saying, like, how is it going to stop children from wanting to find ways around it?
And, I mean, the whole idea of this policy and the law is to reduce online harm and reduce incidences of grooming or cyberbullying, etc., or seeing content like this. But I feel like, you know, I think DJ Star has the same point as me that it may not reduce online harm. What do you think?
I think if it does get put into effect, that it definitely will, because if majority of people cannot access social media, and there's this theory by Jonathan Haidt, and it's called the moral compass theory, and he talks about how before the advent of social media and technology, children used to learn rights and wrongs and social norms from, like, their groups of peers, and now they learn it from content online, which is true because they do spend a lot of time online. And also in the age range of 10 to 15, that is, like, a key age when you're developing, like, your sense of morality and what's right or wrong. So I think if social media is banned during that time and there's more, like, yeah, it is kind of idealistic, but that there would be more interaction and learning from each other rather than these random strangers on the internet who normally have ulterior motives, like, that could be really helpful in reducing that type of harm and, like, not engaging in violence online because it's normalized, or just treating some things as normal when they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. I think as well with that, there's another theory, Gerbner's cultivation theory, similar idea where it's looks into the impact of long-term heavy media consumption and how it shapes a person's perception of reality, which more aligns with what they're exposed to. So, for example, people who watch crime dramas think that maybe the world is more dangerous than it is, even though they know that the dramas are fictional. And I feel like the same idea can be applied in this situation with social media, with these children growing up, because, you know, if they don't see all this media content, for example, really skinny models and seeing all these rich all these women who are very beautiful, and they think that them getting likes and them getting fancy cars, etc., that they make this idea that beautiful women are more successful, for example, that they see through social media. And so if you get rid of that social media aspect, they can't make this, you know, this assumption, which obviously is not something that we should, any of us should be having in our minds. And that kind of goes along with that too.
Yeah, and things can be just super amplified on social media as well. Like, for example, the misogyny that's online is crazy. Like, it's so intense. It's like, people, I don't think they would say those things to others in real life a lot of the time, but because it's social media, they're just, like, spouting it all out. And I think some of it is so shocking that, like, I will look at it and then there's more on my feed of it. And then eventually, like, it just becomes this, like, echo torture chamber of, like, all of this misogynistic content, and even, like, from women talking about men. And, like, that is something that kind of skewed my perspective of reality a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, obviously, it is an issue in reality as well, but I think it just seems to be everywhere on social media. But if I don't spend as much time on it, then, you know, it doesn't impact my mental health as much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just want to say that algorithms normally favor, like, this shocking or controversial content, which makes it seem just normal or regular, and, like, this is how all people think when it's not actually. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that those theories are more into the pros of banning social media, and that would, I believe, that would help with reducing online harm. There's also the point of that maybe it may not reduce online harm because of other platforms other than the traditional social media sites, such as gaming platforms or dating websites or AI chatbots that DJ Star has written down here. And I'm stealing now.
No, it's okay.
But these ones are still types of harmful content that may have kids go into now because they don't have the traditional social media platforms, especially with the AI chatbots, because I feel like there's a slippery slope with that one, and that children will, you know, since it's not banned, they will go to that instead of communicating with their friends on social media instead of being present in person.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Like, there is already kind of an addictive mindset instilled into a lot of children from a very young age that it's hard to fathom that it's just going to be like snap of a finger. They're not going to be searching for that dopamine on places like, yeah, like gaming platforms, AI chatbots. But at the same time, like, because this ban is like eliminating like so many other social media platforms, it has to reduce online harm in some way. I'm sure, like, it's not going to completely, like, I don't think we can ever really completely erase that unless we're like, okay, we are turning off the internet for everyone in this country.
Guys, back to the sticks and the stones. Bang them together.
Yeah, start writing on, like, stone again. But yeah, like, I think it will definitely reduce it if it's done well, but not completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can never save everyone. We can't reduce all harm. You know, there's always going to be some level of harm or some level of damage that's done in any aspect of life that we can't reduce, unfortunately. So it's best to minimize it. And this law is, in its principle, I feel like it is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
There are other issues, though, other than the harm that I've been thinking of, such as the data protection concerns, especially with this facial identification, facial verification, because now I feel like the platforms have access to your government ID, your personal health numbers, whatever ID you give them now, that they have a more thorough look at your profile. I mean, we already don't care too much about our giving out our data, but I feel like at that level, it is a little concerning to me. Because I give a lot of my information online and I don't care too much. But when it comes to my driver's license or my passport, I feel like I'm a little wary of that.
I think that. It-